accession number 18667, Reel 2.
Dr. Robertson, Reel 2. Did you ever come across any evidence that traditional medicine was still being practiced in Afghanistan?
No, but I should think it probably is. You see, it's such a poor country that if they have to pay for anything expensive, they really have great difficulty in doing it, particularly with so many families who've lost the adult male breadwinner, and they're dependent on children, many of whom have had limb injuries from landmines.
Did you see landmine casualties?
Oh, a large number, all over. For example, in Jalalabad, there was a special clinic in which they were teaching one-limbed men to ride bicycles, which I can assure you is not an easy job.
Any other details you can give about war casualties and how they were being treated?
No, I saw in all the hospitals a number of war casualties, particularly orthopedic casualties. But the standard of treatment was fair, but not good. Though where the wards were taken over by something like a Swedish agency or a German NGO, the standards then were much higher. What you really need is to have someone to take over your ward for you from some non-government organization, and then it was managed much better.
What about equipment such as false legs and drugs and that type of thing?
They're very short. Sandy Gall had an orthopedic centre, which unfortunately has just been stopped because of lack of funding. But he helped to provide a lot of false limbs. And I thought very highly of the arrangements that he had made.
How did Sandy Gall come to be involved in the country?
Well, that's something that you should ask him. But he went, I think, as a journalist, and has written widely about the country, and especially was with Masroud, who is in the Panjshir Valley, one of the few people who is withstanding the Taliban arrangements.
What drugs did you see available as you went round?
Well, when I was in Herat, I talked to all the doctors there one day, and I said, you know, when WHO sends drugs over to Herat, they can be found in the market within the next 2 weeks. And some of the younger ones were most indignant. They said, you're accusing us of stealing. I said, I'm not accusing you of anything, but I am stating undoubted facts, and you better think how it happens. That is because the drugs that came over would be stolen and would find their way into the market. That's one of the great difficulties.
Did you see the drugs yourself on sale?
Oh, yes. Yes, you can buy almost anything if you can pay for it in the market. There are a lot of druggists, just as there are a lot of doctors who try and make their living in clinics, because the doctors in hospital are paid virtually nothing since there's been a breakdown in the hospital service and the Ministry of Health.
Sounds as though administration is an even bigger problem than anything else.
Oh, administration is impossible. There is no central administration. And in fact, the head of WHO, Dr. Ashura Jibril, was, when he was there, the de facto Minister of Health, because he was the only one who seemed to be able to get things done. And I cannot speak too highly of what he's done for Afghanistan.
What kind of drugs did you see available?
Oh, well, they've got antibiotics, which are needed, and digitalis. I didn't make a study of them, so I can't really tell you much more, but certainly antibiotics were available. But you see, with no laboratories worth or justifying the name, in quotes, laboratory, there were no proper methods for finding out if the organisms were sensitive to these antibiotics. And so it really was a hit and miss method.
Apart from the war casualties, the injuries, what were the main medical problems facing the population?
Well, they do have malaria. They said they had cholera, though this was not confirmed by proper tests. There are a lot of chest disease. There's a lot of tuberculosis. And there are a lot of bowel conditions, particularly different kinds of dysentery. But you see, there is very little clean water available. One of the good things WHO did, through having an excellent water engineer, was to give, for example, Kandahar the first successful clean tap water that any city in Afghanistan had had. That was opened in about 1996 or 97 for about $250,000 people in surrounding places, and was a wonderful thing. They've done the same thing up in Faizabad, in Badakhshan. And this gives the lie to the thing that they, to the story that they only favoured Taliban, because Badakhshan is still under the control of the Rabbani government, since Rabbani's daughter or son or something is married into the presidency of Badakhshan, into the governor of Badakhshan.
Did you come across female personnel working in the hospital?
Oh, yes. One of the reasons for my going into Kabul at the time I did, which was, I think, October 97, was because there had been an edict that women workers couldn't go to work when Taliban took over. Well, that was rescinded after about 6 weeks, fortunately. But when I went round the hospitals and talked to the nursing staff after getting rid of the superintendent, they expressed anxiety as to whether they would be allowed to continue to work there and whether their jobs were secure. So I went back to the Minister of Health and told him of this anxiety and said, since he hadn't got a public relations officer, did he think he could possibly go and talk to them himself? And he went the next day telling them at this hospital that I had asked him if he would go, and he reassured them over a period of about three quarters of an hour that their jobs were secure and that they could still go to work in their hospital. And so women nurses and women doctors are working in hospitals in Kabul. They're certainly working elsewhere as well. Now, I'm not saying that that holds for women in other jobs. I don't know about that. But if you talk to the Taliban people about it, they will say, well, you see, we have had no problems with women being assaulted or raped by a victorious army. We've come in and we won't allow anything like that to happen at all. And the women are much safer off the streets. Now, I can only say that although I'm sure there are a lot of snags about such an extreme view, The fact is that the women are very much safer than they were before Taliban came.
You specifically mentioned, I think, Turkey and Sweden as two countries which have contributed.
Well,
are there any others?
No, I'm not specifically mentioning them. They just came up in conversation. There are a number of countries which are helping. For instance, the Norwegians are. And there is a lady that I met and knew who used to work in as a practice manager in Aberdeenshire, who was with the Norwegian refugee group up in Balikshan. And someone like that does a great deal of good.
Does Pakistan give any help?
Well, I'm not in a position to say. I just don't know. But I'm sure they do. No one quite knows what part Pakistan plays in the financing of Taliban. And I have no knowledge that will assist in that question at all.
Do you have any plans to go back?
Well, I would go back tomorrow if asked, but at the moment, because of the American raid on Afghanistan, the UN have pulled out all non-Afghan personnel from anything in Afghanistan. And so I can't go for WHO, and WHO are not allowed to go inside either because of insurance problems.
Is there any growing of drugs in Pakistan?
In
Afghanistan?
Well, that I don't know, but I suspect there is. I haven't personally seen it, but I wasn't on the lookout for it. But it may well be that there is. But you see, if you've got a farmer who can get more for his crops if he grows poppies and can't get anything from anyone else, he'll grow poppies, won't he? When I went to Balikshan this last time, it was a short visit, and I had the choice of meeting President Rabbani, whom I saw in the same room, or going out to meet a previous patient who was a community leader. I straight away chose to go and see the community leader. I had given him advice about a heart attack in the past. And you know, it is quite wonderful to go into a room where the chief community leader knows you. He opens his arms wide and gives you a big hug and says how wonderful it is to see you, and makes you feel, firstly, that you almost belong there, and secondly, that you're a most welcome person. And it's this kind of welcoming by community leaders and other people that I have met which has singled out Afghanistan in my mind as a country of the most friendly people. They may go in there off duty and kill their neighbors, that I don't know. But I only know that they've treated me as no other officials in any country in the world have done.